Yeah. Huzzah.
Who's a?
Who's a? Who's a?
Who's a? Who's a? Who's a?
So I have two copies of Star Saga. I'm not really sure why I printed another copy of the Ares contract characters.
Well, to be fair, resin versions of those minis.
Yes.
How do they compare? Or are you still printing them?
They look phenomenal, dude.
I'm jelly.
Yeah, I don't know how well you're going to be able to. Where's the camera? There's the camera. Get in
Zoom. Ooh.
Like, they are super detailed.
Yeah, that is a cool looking Ogan there.
Yeah.
Salvaggio. Rico, suave. Alice.
Yeah, and of course, showing them on the camera is not the greatest detail.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Or Akira.
Yep.
And there's Erica Dolinsky.
And where you at?
I'm here. Oh, nice. The sword's straight.
Yeah. Yeah, the sword's straight. Like, who would have thought?
Oh, rat.
And where's Kirby? Kirby's in here somewhere.
Kirby.
Ouch. I don't know where my Kirby went. Oh, there's Kirby. Found him.
Yeah.
His arm fell off, though.
Oh, no. They are really,
really thin. Flimsy.
But, Rick, you know, it was really nice for you to, to show me all those minis that you have printed off. But this is radio, Rick.
This is radio?
This is Dead Zone, the podcast.
Ah, it is.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
Well, I guess that means I should probably take pictures, huh?
Yeah, pictures would be good.
Yes, indeed. So how are things going, Brian?
Things are going busy.
Busy.
Yeah, apart from like work busy, but well, yeah, had an eventful weekend just a little bit ago.
Yeah, you guys did 200 points?
150.
No, 150.
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to be there.
Yeah. And
that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, unfortunately.
No, work said no.
Yeah, we ultimately had a handful of cancellations at the last minute, which what was unfortunate. We were set up to handle, I think, 9 tables. Because there was that possibility earlier on that we were, or not 9 tables, 6 tables, because we were looking at maybe 10 to 12 players.
Yeah.
We ultimately wound up with 6, and the cancellations were, you know, forces of nature.
Yeah.
Unforeseen things. But had a really great time. So there were 6 of us total that came and played. We had Adam and Ben Kinney
nice.
came down, which was great. It was like a 2.5-hour drive or something for them. So it was awesome that they came down to play. We had Corey and Ben, some of the local guys, that are kind of in the area, and you know, for them it was like a 20-10 minute drive.
Yeah, with construction. Like right around the corner.
But we did have a new player. His name was Chris, and
right on.
You know, chatting with him, like he had come to play in some of the demos that other Chris had run.
Sure.
Pathfinder Chris had run. And so he had like two games under his belt, and he's like, you know, if I'm going to get into this, I want to dive in feet first.
That's the way you do it.
So it was great. I think we all had a really fun time. I think even between two of us, and basically everyone got to play each other at least once with, I think, one pairing passing by in the night. In my case, I didn't get to play against Eric, but that's
okay. But you got to play against Corey.
I got to play against Corey. So
how'd that go for you?
So I'll just go through my game. Okay. My first game was against Ben Kinney.
Okay.
Who was running a nameless list with the Goliath.
Ooh.
And a Ferromite. And I mentioned the Ferromite because, oh boy, was that like my kryptonite in that fight. We were playing patrol. So pretty basic scenario. It was on one of the mats that had uncertain scenery on it. So
okay.
On the one hand, it made it very difficult for him to move his Goliath around.
That's true.
But he did get his Ferromite landed behind my back line. And I just did not anticipate the amount of armor.
And Ferromite's no joke, man.
It is not a joke. You know, on top of, you know, knocking everyone down on the way there, I think I committed my committed two of my melee units to it, which was my Terraton Shock Trooper and my engineer.
And, oh, that's rough.
And they couldn't bring it down. I think I might have put a wound on it by the end of like two or three rounds of combat.
Yowza.
I'm realizing I could probably actually talk about like what I brought for a list.
Yeah.
So I went with the Rebel Cell Leader, the human one. So
the human one.
The human one.
Really?
Yes. Because it's my weird themed. It's my story list. So I'm like, okay. My goal is to eventually make this list work, and I have some stories about that that I'll share in a moment. I had three like human regular troopers.
Yeah.
I had a Yindage, a Sphere Hunter, and then my sniper, Terraton Shock Trooper with the energy shield, a survey drone, and my engineer. And that's 150 points.
Yep.
And so like kind of with that, so some shortcomings are like not a whole lot of armor piercing, not a big show of melee support, which was a fun topic of the day, which I'm sure I'll get into. But yeah, so my first game was against Ben Kinney with his nameless list, running a Goliath, the Ferromite, Psychotroid. I think he had a Rifleman and a Gunslinger. And there wasn't much else. I think that eats up a lot of points at 150. So it was that thing, like I had a troop count over him, like more bodies.
Well, but, sure.
My bodies weren't able to get rid of his bodies as well. but ultimately, like relatively close game, victory points wise, you know, did kind of make that push for objectives. But he sat his Goliath down on one of the two pointers and it's like, well, I'm not. I did have a Rebel Trooper put one wound on that thing. I just had him make the pot shot early on in the game just to be like, hey, I'm going to do this. If only the Goliath had Rampage is all I'm saying. That would be insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, so didn't win that one. next up, I played against Adam Kinney.
Okay.
And he brought his Asterion list.
As he does.
As he does. I think he was thinking about Veerman, but I think someone had hinted that they were thinking Veerman as well, and so no one brought Veerman.
That makes sense, though.
But and so he had his Asterions, and it was, I think, at least three Khaleeshi, if not two Khaleeshi, and his leader might have been the is it Dervish? I forget the name of the Khaleeshi leader. And Pulse Bombard, one of his favorite tried and trues.
Yep.
And I know there was a Warden and a Cypher with the rocket launcher. And so that one, we played Breakthrough on that one.
Okay.
So, yes, Breakthrough. The one where you go off the board on your opponent's edge.
Yep.
And that one was, that one was interesting. It's one we don't typically see in a tournament setting. So it was an interesting change of pace.
Yeah.
And one I just don't play very often. It went back and forth pretty consistently. Both of us kind of having some big moments. But the final beat for me was I somehow had miscounted my victory points. And I think I had two more than I did, one or two more. And so I make a Hail Mary push and I get my survey drone and my engineer off the board in the same turn, which nets me three victory points. And we then tallied it up and it's like, that's only 15.
Oh man.
And I had two troopers left on the board, like my Yindage and a regular trooper, both of which were already wounded in spitting distance from his Khaleeshi, and he gets first turn.
Going into the next round. That hurts.
So it was so close. And it would have been like, you know, if I could have survived or defeated his Khaleeshi, like, that would have been the game. And ultimately what it came down to is we did double check. So officially Dead Zone games are supposed to go to like five rounds.
Traditionally. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, cause that was the thing is like in that weird scenario where it's like, okay, I tabled like, in this case, Ben or Adam tabled me, killed those last two guys. He didn't have the victory points needed with those kills. But it was like, okay, you do that, you have just enough time with a move dice. And he lucked out. He got the move dice he needed.
Oh, man.
For that last round to run his Khaleeshi off the field and net him the victory points he needed. Because it was that thing where it was like, okay, well, I table you, so my Pulse Bombard way back in the other corner, and my Khaleeshi was right here, like, we just go across, right?
Yep.
And it was, well, technically, you go to five rounds, and he got the move dice that he needed. So it was a last dice roll kind of moment there.
Very nice.
Just kicking myself for messing up that match.
That's a pretty big one there, Brian.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. I was walking it back. I'm like, I didn't pick up an intel or anything like that. We had items on the board. It is what it is. I'm happy that I fought him to that point.
Yeah.
Which is good. Because Adam, for those that are unaware, you know, Adam Kinney was 2023's Adepticon champ. So,
yep.
And so my third opponent was Corey, who was 2024's Adepticon champ. So case in point, Michigan has some of the top players for Dead Zone, and
yes,
and two of them were at this tournament.
And they don't mess around either.
They don't really mess around, but at the same time, it can be a really fun time to play them.
Yes.
My game against Corey, he brought his Plague, which I come to find out it's not because he doesn't want to play a different faction. It's that he's the one that paints up the factions for his friends. And so it's
always, so he always gets stuck.
So it's like, well, I don't want to paint up anything new for myself. I'll just take what I got. He brought at least two Plague Terratons, the mortar team,
yep.
Weapons team, the 3Z's general.
Sounds like his Adepticon list.
It's probably pretty close to his Adepticon list. It's probably
took a few things out. One.
Yeah. Had a couple dogs and then an HMG. So, like, and I think there was another ghoul in there somewhere. And so that one we did the, I'm realizing I messed up my player order, but I'm cool talking sure. about this one third. We did the Deep Strike one where it's kind of the two inverted
yeah
lines.
I like and that one.
That's a fun one. I actually like having that one in the tourneys. And so that one, I think it's safe to say I started off really strong.
Okay.
Because I was able to run my Yindage up and use rapid fire to pin his weapons team.
Oh, that's a good start.
And then I brought my Grogan this time.
Yay, you remembered him.
For new listeners, you may recall, or you might not know, that last time I played against Corey, I forgot a whole unit that had suppression as its main thing.
Which would have been really helpful.
Which would have been really helpful from the mortar teams that he kept shelling me with. I had my Grogan suppress one of the Plague Terratons that was more kind of in that middle striking area.
Yeah.
And really just kind of set the stage, got him off on a back foot. And he was even telling me, he's like, man, I was really sweating there the first couple rounds. And I think I managed to pull some upsets out of that with some sneaky maneuvers of like my survey drone and stuff. But ultimately,
Corey said no.
Ultimately, Corey said no. My guys just could not remove models from his team. I just couldn't take things off the board.
Yeah.
Like at all. It was really frustrating. Even when, you know, stack the dice in my favor, just couldn't get the follow through that I needed on him. So ultimately he wound up, winning that by victory points. It was again, like a close one and to a certain extent, I feel like I know how to play Corey. so it's just a matter of figuring out how to make my dice
play Corey. Sure, that makes sense.
And then I did get to play against the new Chris. He was really fun. He brought a nameless list. He had the Baphomite as one of his main contributors, and he was he 3D printed a whole bunch of Scuttlers.
Oh, nice.
So like that was kind of his tactic was to
all the Scuttlers.
Yeah, try and get the splats that let him have Scuttlers all over the board.
Which, if done right, is pretty cool.
Unfortunately for him, he just did not get the splats that he needed. Like, his command dice just didn't behave.
Hate it when they do that.
Yeah, it was a little rough. Like, but we were playing the, I think it's strength in depth. It is the one that you start with a big kind of corner, like two deep in on the corners, and then you have there's kind of the rule about like the fog of war that your line of sight is restricted to the four in the first round. Another one that doesn't see much play in tournaments, or at least here that I've seen. Granted, that I've seen, i.e. those that I run. But it turned out to be pretty good. I ultimately won that one. My dice had warmed up at that point, and but it was another one where, like, for the fact that he was probably on his third or fourth game, like, he had a great handle of, like, the rules and how to play his faction. I think it was just one of those, like, dice wasn't quite backing up his strategy.
Yeah. And, I mean, that happens. That happens way too often. But grand schemes and your dice say, no, we're not doing that today.
Yep, yep. The plans of mice and men, as they say. But yeah, so it was great getting to play him. And, you know, ultimately we got to rotate around the mats as well, which was
fun. Sounds like it.
And yeah, so at the when all was told, the final results was Corey at the top, being, I believe he was undefeated that day, followed by Ben, Adam, Chris, Brian, and Eric. At least that's according to Chris, Pathfinder Chris, when I just asked him a second ago what the order was. And with the best sportsman going to new Chris.
Cool.
And actually, I took home the best painted or voted on best painted of the list.
Well,
there,
congratulations.
So. Thank you. That was not what I was expecting to get.
So I think then at this point, that means all you need to do is get a first and second place trophy, and you'll have all of them. Because you've had third, you've had sportsman.
I don't know if I've gotten second.
Yeah, you've gotten second.
Guys, I've been playing Dead Zone a long time.
You got second in the third tournament we did.
Okay. All these victories are with Rebs, by the way.
All of them. Rebs. All the way.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? I'm Andrew.
And I'm Coach.
From Family Gamers 777 on YouTube.
And you are listening to Dead Zone the Podcast with Rick and Brian.
Do you think they'll be upset that our audio is better than theirs?
Nah. Rick will probably just laugh it off. Told you.
Yeah, so, no, it was, you know, obviously the lower turnout was a little disappointing, but ultimately the guys that came had a blast. They showed a great love and support for the store. Because everyone kind of went and picked out a whole bunch of stuff afterwards, including, and I'm going to shout this out. So there's a local company called Gray Matter Gaming.
Yep.
And I'll include them in the show notes. And they had designed three different Dead Zone mats.
Oh,
that are the right size. They're cubed up in nice bright white lines. And we had three of them out, you know, three for the store. And with one of them going to, I think top player or sports, someone
got it.
One of those. But then they also have them for sale at the store.
Oh, wow. Right on.
And so I picked up two.
Cool.
Because one of them is this really sweet, like, lava crevice. And there's like, another kind of, like, ash-covered cityscape kind of thing. And then the last one, there was another kind of urban ruin-themed mat. So
perfect.
They're really cool. They're
perfect for Dead Zone.
They come in a nice, like, mat bag. Because they do, so they do other masks.
Are they neoprene or are they vinyl?
Neoprene.
Neoprene. Oh, man.
Yeah. Rick, I sent Rick a picture after I got back home. I'm like, not to rub salt in the wound that you couldn't make it, but look at these things.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were neoprene. Oh, my gosh. I want them.
Yeah. No, they are nice.
Because I don't have enough Dead Zone mats.
Mine keep disappearing. So I'm like, what? Well, that's
losing your mats.
Like, I keep donating to things.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I as part of it, because basically I brought four tables worth of terrain to the event.
Yeah.
And I kind of had that moment of like, you know, I'm printing off some new Corvus Games terrain stuff. I just can't stop myself. And so I just kind of like, you know what, I know there's players that go to that store more frequently than some of us.
Than just tournaments.
Yeah. And there's not much sci-fi terrain at the store before then. And so I just said, okay, here's a whole board's worth. It's my dry brush.
Yeah.
Adepticon from
Quick and Easy.
My Quick and Easy paint up. But that's now at the store officially as a game set that people can play with for whatever games that they're playing, except maybe Shatterpoint because the scale might be off. But
probably a little.
So just a great like love of the store and the community there. I think we're going to be getting Corey and his game. I know they like to play. They're kind of basement
dwellers.
To a certain extent, but you know, they're the kind of guys that like when they see a store support their hobby, they go to that store
they jump.
And support the store back. So that's it's really great to see, and I'm super stoked for that scene continuing to grow at that store.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that store was Excel Hobbies. I'm gonna make
Is
sure
it Excel RC and Hobbies?
Yeah, Excel RC.
Is that the
and
actual
hobbies.
Yeah.
Because they're a good chunk of their store is dedicated to RC cars,
and that's okay.
But they have a great section for Mantic if you're getting into Firefight, Dead Zone, Kings of War, Ambush, like Armada. Like they stopped
Very
and
cool.
they got a lot of the new stuff. So Rick, I might be. Contributing my the Enforcer stuff that I picked up to your cause, considering that I think we're now sold out.
Oh no!
Corey picked up a bunch, and Eric I think picked up a bunch.
Yikes!
Anyway, that's that was a big thing that I did.
Yep. So I had a Firefight Annihilation demo.
Yeah,
I set up over at Evolution Games and played some Firefight Annihilation. And so Nick, one of the guys, has played and won plenty of our tournaments. And then Matt Hodgman come over.
Hmm.
And then there was a couple actually D&D guys that were at Evo for D&D. Uh-huh. And they came over and said, that's not 40K. And that's all it took. And I ran with it and got them into playing, and they absolutely loved it. They were amazed by how simple the rule system is.
Mm-hmm.
They were blown away that everything's in one book.
Yeah.
Completely blown away by that. so I had a lot of fun with that. It's It made me think about the Michigan GT.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do Firefight at the GT. I think we should do Firefight Annihilation.
You think we should just bump it up to Annihilation?
I think we go Annihilation. We do like 850.
Okay.
850 points of Annihilation at the GT.
All right.
850 points. So, like, through playing the games and talking to those guys and talking to Nick and Matt and some of the other guys that I've talked to, it's like 850 points is not that hard to get to from a vehicle standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the Striders, you have the Iron Ancestors, you have jet bikes, you have, what are those, the bikes that the Astarians have? The little things.
Not the Black Talons.
Is it the Black? No, it's not the Black Talons.
Sky Razors.
Sky Razor, there it is. Yeah. But you have things like that are part of Annihilation. So I think it'd be really cool to do about 850 points. Now, at Adepticon, my game tables there was 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
So 850 would drop it down to a closer to like 7 or 8 drops.
Sure.
Which, in our time frame from a tournament standpoint, I think is completely viable.
Mm-hmm.
And do the same, do 3 rounds.
Yeah.
But a flat out annihilation. That's what I'm thinking now that I've actually seen more people play it.
Yeah.
I would be sad. I think it'd be a blast.
If you think we should do it,
you think you should do it. Well, I mean, that might be the other reason why I said it on here because that'll force my hand.
Yeah, because we always follow through things that we say on the podcast. But no, that would be a really, that would be a sweet thing. And
it would be, unless somebody pops up before the GT, it would be the first Annihilation tournament.
Yeah. And we like having the Michigan GT be the first of Mantic tournaments of things.
Because it was.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do Annihilation at the GT.
I'm going to do Annihilation at the Michigan GT.
Because why not?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a different flavor, but that's also like not a bad thing. I think like Firefight is a blast.
Yes, 100%.
Like, girls are great. Bringing that to the Michigan GT, especially considering that the Kings of War Grand Prix is going on, and it's always car themed or chariot themed.
Chariot themed, which and they always have somebody's got a car.
Yeah. Maybe I don't want to steal their thunder. their Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. Oh. Wow.
Yeah. All right, now that I've plugged one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. But no, that would be a really sweet thing. I'm warming up to that.
This is Kevin Riddle, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. That's right, Riddle. Not Riddley, not Riddla, not Riddell, not Riddell. Riddle. Just like it's spelled.
Speaking of big gaming events.
Yeah.
Adepticon is moving.
Adepticon is moving. Like, wow.
Yeah. Did not expect that.
No, not at all. Like, and I heard conversations that, and this is going back a few years,
mm-hmm.
that they're always having those conversations about going someplace new and expanding.
It was the scale of the event had continued to grow over the years.
Yeah. And then, of course, like the last few years, Adepticon's been in 2 different hotels.
Yeah, because of that. Like,
yep.
Like, and it was not only historical, but like Star Wars Armada had to be in that other hotel this year. And I mean, they had all sorts of Star Wars
yes.
Going on. Like X-Wing is huge.
Yeah.
More so than I thought that. I'm just out of touch with some of these games, I'm sure.
I don't know if it's out of touch or if it's out of state, because I didn't see a lot of recognizable Michigan players at any of those events.
Yeah.
I saw a couple here and there, but not when you look at 40K or AOS or any Mantic game, there's a Michigan presence.
Yeah.
Infinity, there's a Michigan presence. Mm-hmm. You jump into Star Wars Legion, Shatterpoint, X-Wing, Armada. There's not a big showing of Michigan players.
At least ones that we know.
That we know. That we see at our game stores.
Yeah. So, if you're a Michigan player and
let us know,
and haven't seen us yet, make yourself known.
But yeah, they're moving to
The Baird Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Which is... So I looked it up immediately as soon as I saw it. It's like 5.5 hours for us.
Which is almost the same.
6.5, 7 hours for you.
Yeah, a little bit of a hike. But ultimately, pretty.
I mean, still not insanely far.
Yeah. And I love Wisconsin. That's always fun.
Go figure.
My brother actually, when he saw the news, messaged me. He's like, "Hey, like maybe we could like connect at the event." He doesn't do a whole lot of tabletop gaming, but he come and hang out. And I was like, "Well, you know, that Halo game." We're huge into Halo, so he's pretty geeked about that. He doesn't do much like minis tabletop games.
Sure.
I'm sure if I painted up a set.
Oh, I bet you if you painted up a set, he would not argue.
Yep. I'm excited. I know some people have mentioned that I think it used to be at this specific place that it...
I don't think it was at that specific place because this is a new convention center. I think maybe it was Gen Con.
I think it was, I think people have mentioned like Gen Con, some event used to be held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it migrated since then. So this is another event migrating to it.
Yeah.
So a bit of a big change, which I know the discourse around it is pretty mixed, for lack of a better word. Like I've seen a lot of people that celebrate the news. I've seen plenty of people that are like, "Well, now I'm not going." Which an event that huge, this many people. It's gonna happen.
Even the Michigan GT is gonna have the same thing this year because we're in September.
Mm-hmm.
As dates change because of availability and everything, like you're going to have players that don't go anymore, but then you're also going to open the door for other players too.
True. So it's a give and take. Ultimately, hope it is successful for Adepticon. It's a great event. It's great to see that it's continued to grow. At some point you either cap your attendance, which, you don't want
something like this. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. When people want something, you don't want to say, "Well, no." So going somewhere where they can hopefully facilitate that growth and continue to do so.
Yeah.
More power to them. And we will try to see you guys there. Hopefully see y'all there. But yeah, so that was a big momentous piece of news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going on. And then recalling like other news beats and just stuff going on. We could, you know what? we should do is we should head on over to the hobby table.
Yeah.
I just look at the clock and seeing how long we've already been recording. Yeah. You know what? We should probably just start moving on here and get to the last section and head on out. So
this Dead Zone, the podcast hobby table, is sponsored by Corvus Games Terrain, 3D printer files for all your Mantic games.
And by Acid House Terrain, foldable cardboard terrain for wargaming and RPGs.
Yes, so this section of the podcast is brought to you by Corvus Games Terrain.
Yay!
We have a coupon code, DZPodcastMay. To get 15% off at the checkout when you go to Corvus Games Terrain. He has some amazing designs for 3D models for all sorts of FDM printing and stuff, or resin printing, as the case may be. And, you know, kind of with that, he has a whole section dedicated specifically to Dead Zone. So they're cubed up, they're ready to go. I know.
So anyways,
one second. And so,
it's not fair for the listeners because they don't get to see our faces, but when you did that clap and then the pause, that was hilarious.
That's an editing trick. to denote a loud sound spike, so I know where to put the audio.
Or Rick just ruins it and talks about it.
You know the secret too, and this part will stay in. So we left off with talking about Corvus Games Terrain.
Yes,
and so they're. Sponsor of the show, as mentioned, he's put together some really excellent 3D models queued up for Dead Zone, and including some of the latest additions, which are the rock type ones. And I will say, if you're interested in printing the rock formation ones, go check out the video by Family of Gamers.
Family Gamer 777.
Coach does a great walkthrough of how to print those in a way that doesn't use a whole bucket full of filament.
Lightning.
the lightning setting is great. It helps. It's fascinating how it does it. Basically, it like builds up the walls, and then when it needs to, it starts peeking.
Yeah. So
you can have really fascinating stuff. Coach did a great video demonstrating how to do that process. So go check that out if you are so interested. And one of our other episode sponsors is Acid House Terrain.
Acid House Terrain.
That makes cardboard terrain for all your gaming needs, sci-fi, fantasy. There's a cyberpunk one that just came out.
Which and he's looking at doing the small stuff next.
Ooh.
Which will be great for Warpath Epic. Yes. Or Epic Warpath.
However you chose to pronounce it.
Yep.
And so, Acid House is some great terrain. It's really durable cardboard that kind of comes in two parts where it's a frame and then a foldable insert, and you can just pop it right in. We use it for a lot of our firefight tournaments. It really makes the tables come alive with nice sci-fi scenery. And so we appreciate the sponsorship by both those guys on the show. And so this section is where we kind of talk a little bit about our own hobby time and other stuff we kind of have going on related to the painting or the modeling or what have you.
All of the above.
Rick, I will throw it to you first.
So obviously, still coming off the back of Adeptcon, I picked up Night Stalkers. Because, well, they're coming to Firefight and Dead Zone.
Yes.
And of course, over on the vault, there's some Night Stalkers as well. Yep. So I printed up them and I based them. So the problem is I don't know what size base is because we don't know what the lists are yet. So I kind of just guesstimated at what I got going on. I hope I did it right. So I was doing a little bit of that. And then, of course, so last month in the vault, we got the Ares contract.
Mm-hmm.
Family Gamer 777 did a video about it. They've already played with them.
Yeah.
I saw it and immediately like, cool, I'm going to throw that on the printer. And I printed it off. And as I was cleaning my prints, I'm like, why did I print these? I have two copies of it. Because I have two copies of Star Saga.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I printed those. messing around a little bit with those.
To be getting fair, those that don't know, the Star Saga copies are, is it PVC?
Yeah, it's like a, it's almost like a soft PVC.
It's like a, it's a board game kind of plastic. So
the detail.
Yeah.
On the resin prints is absolutely amazing. I'll probably try and get like a Zenithal Prime on these and then take some quick pictures of him just so Brian can post them with everything.
Yes.
Because we know how good I am at posting stuff.
Rick is actually really good at our social media.
Sometimes. I've actually been 3D printing on the FDM printer as well, some scenery for another game. It's been kind of one of those convenient, I'm using another game to make sure my settings are right before I jump into printing the stuff for Dead Zone and Firefight from Corvus. Like, I've got the stick all loaded with all the stuff from Corvus already cut and ready to go. My fear is now that I did all that I'm going to put them in there and I'm going to print like the same one over multiple times because I didn't go in there and number them.
I kind of do the same. I run into the same pitfall of, I think I printed.
Much like I just did.
I think I printed the two set rock formation twice when I wanted one that was the two and one that was the double stack.
Yep.
I mean, now I just have more terrain.
Which more rocks. It
I
works.
Won't say no.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's what's been on my table. I actually haven't gotten any actual painting done.
That's fair. I haven't done much in terms of painting either, but those that are familiar with the show, like I'm sure that's a surprise to no one. I'm very slow when it comes to doing some of my hobby stuff, especially painting. And similarly, so like my FDM printer had kind of been out of commission for a strange reason since before Adepticon. And so I finally had some like time where I didn't have any commitments, and I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna swap things out. So I replaced the nozzle. I replaced the little insert tube
your boating tube or the tube?
The insert that we have in the
hive. Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is a little trick that Coach also shared with us. They got some great tips on 3D printing.
I mean, he does a lot of it.
Yes. And you know, kind of re-level the bed and everything, and things have been printing really smoothly ever since.
Great.
And so I stocked back up on some polar filament. The filament company based out of Troy, Michigan here. And honestly, like, I practically, like, I got myself three rolls because that put me into free shipping.
Sure.
But kind of with that, like, ultimately, it was practically like a 2-day shipping day. So it would have been the same if I ordered it off of Amazon by the time it arrived. Yep. So I like that.
yes.
And
you know, I've been printing with my polar And I picked up the blue. I'm impressed with the PLA. Like,
yeah, I finally changed. I usually get white.
Yeah.
And I went with, I've got black, I've got a blue and a teal.
Ooh.
The black in particular was kind of that realization that I print so much terrain with FDM, and one of the first things I do as soon as it comes out is I spray paint it black.
Yep.
So I'm seeing if I just cut out the middleman there and I just zenith all like the gray base coat that I want on or whatever. If I even need to do any kind of that shadow catching, or if I just let the natural PLA be my black undercoat. So,
I mean,
we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. And yeah, like I said, printing the rock formations, especially with that lightning.
Yeah, that lightning setting is amazing.
Like, that was the thing holding me back from printing that terrain before. And it cuts the time down significantly. The amount of filament going into them is not an entire spool anymore.
Yeah.
And it's still very, very durable. Obviously not as durable. It if you start squeezing on the sides of it,
it will eventually. Little, yeah.
That might come down to how thick you have the walls setting set up. But yeah, I really like the terrain, especially on that lava board that
sure. we set up
for the tournament. Like the rock formations on that just really popped and
nice.
So I have a full Dead Zone board now of rock terrain that I just need to probably gray spray paint, have a little hit of white, do some dry brushing, and I'm good to go.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yep.
Like it's simple and it's very effective.
Mm-hmm. otherwise, haven't done much in terms of painting or putting any more models together. I'm kind of in that post Adepticon slump,
yep.
But which always hits me. I'm sure other people might have that too, where there's a lot of work and prep that goes into the big event like that. And then you kind of come back and just like, I don't really want to do it. All my free time was like committed to that. And so now it's like, all other commitments kind of catch up to you. So that said, speaking of 3D modeling, it would be remiss. We really lucked out and then we're recording today because the Mantic
the Golf view got yeah. Oh man,
is it just teeming with all sorts of goodies. We've got Enforcer Phase Claws,
yes!
Missile Launchers, the Enforcer Medic, Engineer, Sniper Packs. There's some Armada stuff. I'm just going to gloss over the stuff that you guys don't
care. Yeah.
No, like really cool Armada stuff. I'm not going to lie. Like if you're into Armada, go check this out. And same thing for Kings of War. They have like extra banners like for
yeah that's actually games. Really cool.
It's really awesome that they've made that. Big shout out, Peacekeeper Blaine got added
yes.
to the welcome pack, which is a pretty sweet model. We've got Dead Zone scenery packs, which is these Dreadball Extreme crates.
Yep.
Now are in the I've got a billion of them I think already, but you know, there's some unique ones included in there too. And one of the ones that we've been asking for and begging for a long time is the Strider upgrades for both the Aegis
yes.
and the Burst Laser. Those are game changing.
My brick.
Yes.
My brick can go away.
Yes. It might be just getting into Mantic recently. The Strider had a lot of the upgrade kits for it were
all metal.
Going
and they were not light metal.
They were not light metal. It was a hefty boy. And they're all kind of slapped on the front of this model. Which
yes.
Top
Very top heavy.
So it's awesome to see, especially the burst laser, the Ajax one.
Yes. Is
like gravy on top of that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because that loadout, that kit is just so cool looking. So all that would be a pretty great vault.
And setup. That's not it.
So they have the Tercia Revolutionaries, a strike team for Dead Zone, with a 200 points fixed cost strike team coming to the companion app. Now, this is a collection of models from both Dreadball and Star Saga.
Star Saga, yep.
In that there's a number of mercenaries.
But then, so all of the Dreadball models that you see in there, which are some, actually, like, one of my favorite Dreadball models is in there. Mech.
My engineer.
Go figure. Yeah. They've also been resized to fit with Dead Zone scale, because some of those models in Dreadball were much smaller.
Yes, they. I'll be curious to see if I can get one of. I'm trying to remember what her name was in Dreadball because I keep forgetting it. It's like Wrecker or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that.
She was the team captain for the
Mechanites.
The Mechanites, the little robot-y ones.
Hey, I remembered something in Dreadball.
And then two other of the Dreadball ones. I forget the name of the unit there, or the player. They're from the Renton Rejects. The kind of catch-all faction in Dreadball. So really, really neat looking, and it's cool. So it's nine models that will equal out a 200 point strike team of some kind. And you know, the Tercia Revolutionaries sure sounds a lot like a rebel faction.
Yeah. You got your rebel faction. Yeah. Woohoo, go Rebs.
Woo, go Rebs.
So, that being said, one of the things that it made me realize, so we had Ares contract last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we have this. So this, and there's going to be a snippet of lore for this one.
Excellent.
There's going to be in the journal or whatever that they throw on
the
website.
Newsletter.
There's going to be some kind of lore for this group right here.
Sweet.
But this reminds me of some of the original expansions for Dead Zone in first and second edition, because it was, this is your team that are going to go play these missions.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're creating those expansions for us to build on stories. Yay.
And two, like, some of the mercenaries that are included in here is, like, one of the heroes from one of the Star Saga. I think it was it Retake the Black Star one? I'm trying to remember who all these guys are. Oh, there was another Dreadball one. I think the one with the hood back, the claws, hands.
Yeah, that's Dreadball. So the one with the shields.
Oh yeah, and that guy too.
That one's a merc from Star Saga that actually was one of the additional mercs that you would get shortly after because it would come in the character creator.
Yep.
Same with the one next to him. Your Dreadball medic.
So it is that funny thing. I think I might have all these models already.
You have all of them. So the one right directly underneath of the medic, if you're looking at the picture, I don't recognize that model.
That's one of the ones in the Renton Rejects.
Okay.
From Dreadball.
That makes sense now.
But no, this the vault continues to knock it out of the park. This is huge value.
Yes, it is.
And as we've already seen, you know, Rick printing the Arius contract mercs in resin, like the amount of detail that you gain by doing so over the original printing of the models that came in Star Saga, like it's
crazy.
Amount of quality that's inside that model kit is awesome. And so seeing them really kind of shine is going to be, it's going to be so cool. But yeah, so that is what was in the vault, coming up in May here. So I know we're kind of a broken record on this at this point, but if you are not subscribed to the vault, like,
go subscribe. It's worth it.
Go subscribe, get on that, make some friends that have resin printers. Mostly resin printers with this stuff. It'd be a little tricky to do FDM on some.
I mean,
of
it's
models.
Doable, but
do it. But resin would be give you the cleanest look for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
And so great job over at the Mantic Vault. We love you guys, and we can't wait to see
such
you
good stuff.
Now I really want to put them next side by side to see what the. How close that scale is.
Of
cool.
Arius contract?
Well, the Arius contract, but also like the Dreadball minis. Yeah, the full list here. I think Claudio has it. Hector Sanchez, Lydia Brute Force Wayner, Lyra the Fixer, Sergeant Ugaric, KROM3, Orion, and two Renton's Reject bots with a Metabot.
Oh, that's what they are. Okay.
Yeah.
They're bots.
And I'm going to give him a little, I'm going to like that post because that came in handy, Claudio. You're a good
guy.
Yes,
it did.
Keep on keeping on. So as Rick.
Wow.
Gets that together.
I didn't realize that. Interesting.
So Rick has like the entirety of Star Saga in a tackle box.
That my kids got me for Christmas. It's amazing.
It is definitely like a TARDIS-esque tackle box because it seems like it's definitely bigger on the inside.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's one of the new print ones. So, obviously, we're not talking picture here, but they're identical in scale.
Gotcha. So the Arius contract folks.
They are identical.
Those will be identical.
Yeah.
The Dreadball ones, I'm curious on.
But what got me going, oh, wow, was.
Oh, wow.
So the healer.
The Metabot?
No, the Four Star Saga. Kira?
Oh, Kira.
Yeah, so she was a resin add-on. Or bonus that a whole bunch of us got.
Yeah, she had
the one on the vault, they're different.
Yeah, so we actually, I think, have the special edition one.
That yeah, this like one is a special edition.
Store exclusive kind.
Yep.
And admittedly, I don't even remember how you could get the other one.
I don't remember.
I forget what it was released with. It did exist. Maybe that was a Kickstarter exclusive one.
It might have been. But yeah, I have them pushed next to each other on the base. Oh no.
Oh no.
But yeah, they're the same size.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Which is awesome.
Oh, it did.
Anyways.
And with that, I think that's a wrap on the episode. Thank you guys for sticking with us as Rick does show and tell on
show and tell for you and not anybody else. It's a thing.
Please, you know, give the show a like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. Check us out on all those social media platforms because we're on a bunch of them. And it's hard to remember to name them all off. But yeah, so I think with that, you know, have a good one, everybody.
That's a wrap. Thank you.
Is that Sanchez?
Yeah, that's Sanchez. That's
Hector Sanchez.
Hector Sanchez with the grenade.
Yeah.
Because I was like I was looking, I was like, oh wait, that one's Star Saga, that one's Star Saga, that one's Star Saga.
Maybe it'll finally motivate me to. So I wanted to do all of my Star Saga guys in a Star Wars theme. And Hector Sanchez always reminded me of, I think his name is Baz or Baze in Rogue One. The guy
that
lugs around the big machine.
Lugs gun. Around the big one, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe this will motivate me to finally paint that guy up.
Yeah, because there's the shield dude right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm totally going to print those.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to print her in that mech suit. Because if you look at the picture, she's bigger.
Yeah, she does look bigger.
She's got a... I mean, it might not be a lot, but she's definitely bigger.
It's kind of that funny
Which means
thing.
She's definitely bigger than Dreadball.
I want to know her stats in Dead Zone. Because... It's that funny thing with using her as my engineer. I always forget that she has no armor. She has one HP or two HP and is not like, you know, range two blowtorch AP2, but and has a servo claw thing. Like those parts I remember, but I always forget that she doesn't have any armor and that she will get murdered